the Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
At 8:38, we welcome David Harris, the Editor-in-Chief at the Clarion Project. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Yes, very well, thank you. I was actually just talking about this this young German scholar, 16 years old, who ran away from home in Germany and went off to go and join ISIS as an ISIS bride, and how she doesn't want to take responsibility for having done that. Look, there were certainly threats against, you know, against her life by the Allied forces. And, you know, the thing is that she wants to return home, but at no point has she denied her her beliefs. And she's and what I was saying earlier is that a lot of these terrorists from ISIS are returning to their home countries with this toxic, poisonous terrorist ideology. So talking about, you know, a new year is upon us. How do we fight ISIS? What should the resolutions be? New Year's resolutions.
So the first thing I would say is that a lot of the New Year's resolutions have to come from the governments. They have to come, obviously, from the fighters who are coming home, and they have to come from members of the public, which, if we've got time, we'll get to. But first and foremost, they have to come from governments. We've got a very interesting article on our website, clarionproject.org, at the moment, which is actually looking at this and saying, a group of ISIS fighters, say they're South African, want to come home. Do you refuse them entry? Well, the trouble with a policy like that is that they just then remain embittered, remain angry, find somewhere else and launch terror attacks there. You bring them back into South Africa, do you immediately throw them into prison? Well, the trouble is, certainly on the basis of the evidence in countries like France, if you throw a bunch of terrorists into prison, they simply breed off each other and come out perhaps even more determined, even more radicalized. And they can, from within the prison system, because they're not hermetically sealed off from the world, they can influence other people on the outside to conduct attacks. So you need to have some sort of programs that deal with these individuals. The experience of the United States is that de-radicalization programs thus far haven't worked, but that's in part because it's a brand new science. You know, we're talking about a science that's 2, 3, 4 years old. And so people are still trying to figure out what is the best approach. But the government needs to look at this very seriously. And as I always say, when I get the opportunity on this program, they need to look at how you fight against the ideology. It's not just about countering violent extremism. It's about countering non-violent extremism, dealing with the imams, dealing with the curriculum in schools. That's where all of this has to start. And unfortunately, that's not something that can, you know, snap your fingers and with a New Year's resolution after Rosh Hashanah it happens. This is something, unfortunately, tragically, that could take generations.
And how do you check somebody's ideology, you know? Check your ideology with your passport.
Absolutely.
I mean, you never know what people are thinking and feeling.
I think what you've got to do is, and this does involve racial profiling, you've got to say, in Muslim neighborhoods, in Muslim suburbs, we have to make sure that we are listening to what is being said in the mosques. We have to make sure that they're using state textbooks and not textbooks that they might have got from Saudi Arabia that call on people to kill Jews, as we found out only a few days ago. There has to be that type of supervision. And if, for the sake of political correctness, you have to do it, then you do it across the school system, across the religious system, so you make sure that churches and synagogues and temples are also being monitored carefully. It costs a lot of money. It's very labor-intensive. But if you want to stop this evil scourge, you've got to do that. Just simply saying we're going to throw a bunch of ISIS people returning from the Middle East into the slammer is not the solution.
Yeah. You know, you say we've got to make sure, but should that not come from inside the world Muslim population? You know, if there is this hateful rhetoric and hate speech being spewed in mosques, is that not something that the Muslim community needs to clamp down on? Because this is completely radical. I mean, you know, most Muslims around the world are very peaceful, human rights loving people. So, I just wanted to just weigh in on that.
I think you're absolutely right. The two are not mutually exclusive. There is absolutely an onus on the governments to act, but clearly there is also an onus on the Muslim community. Now, we are on the the outside, the non-Muslims. We've got. I actually don't like this idea that we sort of, as a group, say, come on, Muslims, when there's a terrorist attack, we want all of you to speak out and condemn it. You know, if a good Muslim couple who live in Johannesburg conducting, their life in their own way, they don't need to come out and condemn some terrorist attack that's taken place the other side of the world. I mean, I think that is us being Islamophobic or us being racist towards them.
I would agree.
That having been said, the Muslim institutions, the places of study, the places of worship in particular, do need to come out in their sermons and condemn the violence. And I just want to point out in a very positive way something that's happening in Indonesia right now. There is a movement, and Indonesia is not the perfect place, but there is a recognition on the part of the government and many in the leadership of Islam in the country. And remember, it is an Islamic state. There are many there who are saying, enough is enough. We have got to stop not just the violence, but also the radical preaching. 1,000 new imams right now are going through a training course on how to distance themselves from extremism and learn how to condemn extremism. We heard recently of 300, I believe it was Austrian imams, who were marching around Europe condemning violence. This is very underreported. This is something that I in the media should be pushing, should be stressing, because if the message gets out that there are literally thousands of religious leaders around the Muslim world, and absolutely it is not the majority right now, and we need to make it the majority, but if there are thousands of Muslim imams and other leaders who are speaking up against both extremist rhetoric and against the violence, we need to welcome them with open arms. And instead of us criticizing those who don't speak up, we need to spend our airtime welcoming those who don't. And maybe that will encourage others in the Muslim community to speak out against the radicals.
David, thank you very, very much. It's been great speaking to you, as always. And all that's left is to wish you and your family and your colleagues a Shana Tova. And we'll speak to you next Monday, please God.
Absolutely. A very happy new year to you, your family, your Jewish listeners and your non-Jewish listeners. And if you're listening to this and you happen not to be Jewish and don't know our crazy customs, try over Wednesday and Thursday just taking a bit of apple, dipping it in honey and enjoying one of the pleasures of the Jewish life.
Thank you so much, David Harris. So that's David Harris. He is the editor-in-chief at the Clarion Project.